You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, everybody, the podcast that you need to tune into if you want to keep up on macroeconomics, brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund. As you know, we do discuss interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events on this podcast. If this is the first time that you're tuning in, welcome, and what an episode for you to be joining us on this ride. I'm Ahalya, keeping you company, and as always, we have with us Srijit Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team. Hi, Srijit, welcome back.
Thanks, Ahalya. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And like I said before the recording, quite excited actually to get into the topic today, because, you know, markets, particularly since the COVID pandemic, have been constantly assessing economic data, the outlook for central bank policy and rates. Again, things we have discussed on our previous episodes as well. We've seen bond yields being volatile and swing with data surprises and events. And, you know, one such significant economic event that we witnessed very, very recently was the U.S. federal government election. And Donald Trump is all set to make his return to the White House for a second term in January next year. So we couldn't possibly not discuss the macroeconomic implications of these election results. So on today's episode, we're going to look at what this means for the world. We're also going to discuss some of his major planned economic policies, how it's going to impact the US and other economies, and how this impact may actually not be as straightforward and simple as one might think now, because it is, of course, contextualized by the global economic context, which will be dynamic, but also very different today, right, from when Trump became the US president for the first time. So, Srijit, before we go into this, in your opinion, the time that we're currently living in, do you feel that this is quite uncertain? And, you know, we're going to be discussing this topic for a couple of podcasts to come.
Yeah, it is. It's been quite uncertain. I think the election sort of add to that uncertainty for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with it all. Can you give us a quick snapshot of the economy and what the impact of some of the policies of the president-elect Donald Trump could be?
Yeah, so the U.S. story post-pandemic broadly has been of economic resilience, you know, given the massive fiscal stimulus, excess household savings, higher productivity, and the strong labor market. We mostly had upward economic surprises throughout 2023 and till around middle of this year, after which data came in weaker for a while, but has again surprised to the upside more recently. GDP numbers for recent years were also revised upward, which sort of suggested the economy grew faster than previously thought. That said, inflation has eased and labor market has been broadly cooling. So the Fed's plan is to maintain the current strength of the economy and the labor market while it makes further progress on inflation. And the Fed plans to do this by moving to a less restrictive and more neutral policy stance. But that is one side of the story. The other side is that fiscal deficit is currently very high in the US at around 6.4% of GDP for the year ending September recently. Now, this is when the economy is doing well. And this deficit is expected to be around 7% even after 10 years, as per official projections. So the baseline fiscal trajectory for the US, even before considering the potential impact from Trump's policies, is already quite high.
So, you know, that's an interesting thing, and I think we're going to dive deeper into that. But important for us to also start off by understanding the main policies that Donald Trump has put forward. While, you know, there's obviously been a lot of talk and chatter around other aspects of his presidential campaign, the economic policies are one that may not be completely understood, right, length to breadth. So could you give us some details about that? And also, what is the likely impact of these policies that we're looking at?
Sure. So Trump's plan is expected to increase the government debt by around $7.8 trillion in the next 10 years, as per the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Now, that is roughly 40% of the current federal government's annual deficit of $1.8 trillion getting added in each of the next 10 years. So this means the 7% of the GDP baseline fiscal deficit number 10 years from now that actually we just spoke about could instead be closer to 10%. Now, this is the central estimate. Under its low and high cost estimates, Trump's plan could increase fiscal deficit to, let's say, between 7.7% and just above 12% of GDP. Now, the major contributor here to this higher fiscal deficit number, that is the extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from 2017, when Trump was the president. Now, this made certain provisions for lower taxation of individual income, estate and gift tax, and deductions for certain investments by companies. If extended, this alone is expected to add around $5 trillion plus to the fiscal deficit over the next 10 years. Exempting overtime income from taxes, ending taxation of social security benefits, and other proposals could add another $5 trillion roughly. So there are some measures identified to increase savings as well, which are a partial offset. And there could also be cuts to government expenditure elsewhere, but we don't have much information on that now. So the numbers we have suggest government deficit and therefore debt could be higher, mm-hmm. but there could be offsets to it. But we likely have those details down the road is what I'm trying to tell you. So
right.
Trump has also spoken about stricter immigration control and higher import tariffs. Both these measures could dampen growth, with higher tariffs also hitting global growth and raising inflation. But that depends on the scope and magnitude of the tariffs as well.
You know, this inference also comes at an interesting time. We've been talking about the growth rates in the US, also the inflation issues that the Fed has been dealing with. So higher government deficit and debt from the proposed plans is, I guess, the basic inference. But there could, you know, well be balancing measures, which we can only know later on. Now, on the global economic front, right, how different is the global economic context from when Trump was the US president for the first time? And how does that kind of impact the policies likely to be implemented in the US and also then impact the world?
Okay, so the economic context is quite different today on various aspects versus when Trump was president during 2017 to 2020. Take the US itself, for example. Today, growth is not very different, but it has surprised to the upside despite all the rate hikes that we have seen. So the level of policy rate today, even after 75 basis points of rate cuts by the Fed, is double of what it was then. Yes, US mortgage and even corporate loans are mostly of longer tenor, but they should eventually reflect the reality down the road. So we have seen rise in credit card and auto loan delinquencies. Immigration could fall depending on policy, and we're not sure where the recent high productivity will settle. Will it be sustainably high driven by AI, or as big tech firms in the US are going heavy on AI investments, or will it head lower? So the current higher than expected growth is despite a strong monetary policy tightening cycle, but also because, again, like we have discussed before, fiscal deficit has been higher. So bond yields are much higher now and the dollar is stronger. Now, if you see Europe, the story is similar. Higher inflation, tighter monetary policy, and higher fiscal deficit than before the pandemic. Of course, the magnitudes are different versus the US. The main difference in Europe is lower growth. The euro area real GDP grew just above 2% in 2017-2018, but it grew, I think, just around 0.7% so far this year. So we know Germany, for example, which accounts for a quarter of euro area's output, is really slowing. And even growth in countries like France and Italy have been flattish of late. This is likely also because monetary policy transmission is stronger in Europe, you know, versus the US, because the share of variable rate loans are higher there. But overall growth in Europe is weak and downside risk is clearly rising. And the question is already shifted to whether, you know, the ECB, the European Central Bank, should cut rates faster. Take the case of China also. I mean, we've discussed at length about the slowdown in the property sector and consumer demand. Our previous episode was exclusively on this.
Right.
Now, growth is weak here too. A good part of this slowdown in growth is structural and it should take time to resolve. Monetary policy was eased and now fiscal policy is in the spotlight of late. But announcements so far have fallen short of expectations and have not exactly targeted the core problem. So although more fiscal measures are likely in the pipeline.
Right.
So, I mean, the short point is that the world ex of US is broadly on a weaker footing than in 2016-2017. And even US growth should start feeling the impact of higher rates.
Right. So basically, Europe and China are already slowing and the US can't really stay insulated from the effective rates, which have stayed high for quite some time now. So the difference in the global context today is clearly in terms of weaker growth, right? But could you also tell us how this impacts policy choices in the US region, specifically with the policy choices that, you know, are hoping to be implemented by the government that will be sworn in later on?
Yeah, so the point is, if global growth today is already weaker and is expected to slow further, what will be the direction and magnitude of sort of policies taken in the US? High import tariffs by the US, for instance, can further subtract from growth in Europe and China. Lower immigration to the US can hurt domestic growth as well. So the question is whether fiscal policy can ignore all the potential ramifications in terms of further higher interest rates, lower growth, and so on. Fiscal deficit cannot meaningfully rise further from an already elevated path without any cost, right? So borrowing cost for the US Treasury can rise further, and beyond a point, this could impact the US dollar. It is difficult to sort of imagine the US dollar will simply continue strengthening as fiscal deficit, interest rates, and economic worries rise. So the alternative for fiscal policy is to buffer all this impact through some offsets to the policies announced so far. I mean, this is why we said at the beginning there could be balancing measures, but we may have to wait for the details. The other aspect to ponder here is the impact of, rather the impact on monetary policy. Despite rate cuts, policy rate level is still high, and long-term neutral rate is likely higher than pre-pandemic. And again, we've discussed this before, and it's quite well understood. Mm-hmm. So how policy rate and central bank balance sheet respond to the fiscal trajectory will be quite noteworthy going ahead.
Right. So in brief, I guess fiscal policy in the US can't overlook its potential impact on global and domestic growth, interest rates, and the US dollar. So now that Absolutely. we have that context and have kind of touched upon the impact on Europe, China, and the US itself, mm-hmm. let's bring it back home. What does it look like for India, Srijit? You know, how did things play out during 2017 to 2019, and what could be the impact this time from US policies? Does it look like the impact is going to be heavy, or like India is going to, you know, kind of sustain its current economic trajectory?
In India, cyclically, we see some softness in data. So September quarter, corporate earnings have moderated. I mean, the growth is moderated. Corporate tax collection growth itself has slowed. Bank credit growth has moved down. Private capex cycle hasn't yet picked up materially. Fiscal impact, or rather the impulse so far this year, has been rather muted due to elections, rains, and so on. Mm-hmm. And private consumption growth has been on the weaker side for some time now. But our underlying macro strengths, something we've highlighted many times, sort of remain intact. This includes the support to our current account driven by structurally higher services trade surplus, our moderate underlying or core inflation, the fiscal consolidation trajectory with better transparency, and so on. The impact on India when Trump was president last time was also quite mm-hmm. moderate. So if you see, it was mainly from the refusal to exempt India from higher tariffs on steel and aluminium imports, withdrawing India from the generalized system of preferences in 2019. And also, I think, placing some limits on the H-1B visa quota. The total direct impact wasn't really material. And we don't know the exact policies this time, though. But the general view is India is unlikely to be significantly hit. Additionally, this time if US increases oil production, mm-hmm. As it says it would, it could increase global supply, and, you know, ceteris paribus could be good for oil prices.
Okay.
The China plus one story, though, if it picks up again, that'll be more of a medium-term factor. But that'll also depend on India's domestic policies and capabilities across sectors.
Okay, so I guess with all of those details in hand, it feels like it's not going to be, or not likely to be, detrimental for India, given our economic context and experience from the last time when Donald Trump was president. But with that, we quickly reach the end of today's episode and conversation, Srijit. You know, I think it's an important one to have, and probably one we'll have to decode as the months carry on, simply because, you know, macroeconomics has a way of surprising you at every step and turn. So now, towards the end of the podcast, a good time to summarize the key takeaways from today's episode. So everyone pay close attention. First point of note, US growth has been surprising to the upside again, although inflation has eased and labor market has broadly cooled, but baseline fiscal deficit trajectory now is already high. So based on the policies announced by Donald Trump during his presidential campaign, fiscal deficit is estimated to rise much higher over the next 10 years. But we do believe that there could be offsets, details of which will likely be available only later. Point number two, the main offset could be the weaker global growth situation this time, where Europe is slowing, China is much weaker, and even the US could start feeling the impact of rates being higher all this while. Proposed US policies like higher import tariffs could dampen global growth, and US fiscal policy cannot overlook already high fiscal deficit levels and the potential impact of further significant expansion on borrowing cost, growth, the US dollar, and even monetary policy. So there could be offsets to the current policies and numbers on fiscal deficit impact. And finally, in India, although growth has cyclically moderated of late, the underlying macro story remains intact, and the experience from the last time that Donald Trump was president suggests that the direct impact from US policies could be rather muted. In fact, we could stand to benefit from certain aspects. I hope that was a good enough summary of our discussion. Thank you so much, Srijit, as always, for taking us through it all.
Yeah, my pleasure. Like I said in the beginning, I think there will be uncertainty till Trump takes office and we get more details on various policies. In the meantime, global macroeconomic data will sort of remain crucial.
Yeah, and we will, of course, bring it to our Let's Talk Macro listeners. I hope all of you out there found our discussion today useful. We'll be back once again with another episode of Let's Talk Macro. But until then, bye-bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.